Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and greetings to all of our listeners from Grace Ferry.
There we go. Grace Ferry, not Grace Ferry. We want to praise we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. We're celebrating feast day today. We'll be talking about St. Maximilian Kolbe. And, you know, this is the name of the radio apostolate is In His Sign Catholic Radio. But if you ever come out to the studio, you'll see the sign on the door that says Kolbe Communications. So way back when, Dom Lettieri, when he started this apostolate, had a devotion to Matt Talbot. And, of course, Matt Talbot was big into communication and spreading the word. So we'll be talking quite a bit about Maximilian Kolbe as we get started today. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at our website, ourhouseministries.org. You can also subscribe to my Substack, put out some writings, including highlights of the shows each week, including links to the recordings. You can find that at notsaintsyet.substack.com. That's notsaintsyet.substack.com. Our golf outing is going to be held this year on Monday, October the 14th, at Tallamore Country Club in Ambler. We were there last year and had a great time and expect to have a great time again this year. If you go to the In His Sign website, inhissign.com, and scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a link there to download a flyer with information on how to register for golf, register for dinner, and the various sponsorship opportunities that are available. And can always use more sponsors. And again, this is one of two fundraisers that we have each year, and really count on the proceeds from the outing in order to offset our expenses here. Our Matt Talbot Shrine is open in St. Gabriel's Church in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Church opens for 8:30 daily mass and then remains open until about 4:30. So people can visit the shrine. Again, that's on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And plans are underway for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot, which will take place in 2025. Pilgrimages being put together, as well as working on a documentary of the life of Matt Talbot. If you want to learn more about that documentary, you can visit matttalbotfilm.com. That's matttalbotfilm.com. We are trying to raise a few bucks in order to make that happen, and we'll have more details in the very near future. And a couple of retreat opportunities coming up this coming weekend. 2 days from now, we're going to be out at Malvern for the annual Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Retreat. Get started Friday night, August 16th, around dinner time. You'll be home by noon on Sunday. We still have beds available for men if anybody's interested in coming out. You can shoot me an email at ken@inhissign.com. That's ken@inhissign.com. Or call the radio. We'll give out the numbers a few times in the next couple hours. Get in touch if you have any questions. There's a Matt Talbot Women's Retreat. This will be the second annual for that group. It's going to be held at Malvern. That's September 13th to the 15th. You can register for the Friel Retreat this weekend, the Matt Talbot Women's Retreat, or any retreat at Malvern by visiting malvernretreat.com or calling the Retreat House at 610-644-0400. And there's a Rachel's Vineyard Retreat that will take place September 20th to the 22nd at Dalesford Abbey. If you go to the Rachel's Vineyard website and click on the retreats, there is a kind of an anomaly here. It's being sponsored by folks out of Delaware. So you need to click on Delaware, and then you'll see the retreat for Dalesford Abbey, which is close by in Paoli, Pennsylvania. All right. Enough with the announcements. Let's get started with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe and Venerable Matt Talbot.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. But we need your phone calls in order to make that happen. We are currently in the 19th week in ordinary time in our liturgical calendar. And again, another week in August with a full slate of saints. On Sunday the 11th, it was St. Clare, a virgin. On Monday the 12th, St. Jane Frances de Chantal, a religious. Yesterday the 13th, we celebrated Saints Pontian, who was a pope, and Hippolytus, a priest, and both were martyrs. Today the 14th, St. Maximilian Kolbe, priest and martyr. Tomorrow, Holy Day of Obligation, so make sure you either get to the Vigil Mass tonight or Mass tomorrow morning as we celebrate the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And on Friday the 16th, St. Stephen of Hungary. And as mentioned before, we're going to spend a little bit of time today talking about St. Maximilian Kolbe, again, patron of this great Catholic radio apostolate, and a saint that had a huge influence on my own spiritual life dating back to 1996 or so, when I first learned about St. Maximilian Kolbe and the Knights of Immaculata through Bud McFarlane, Father, who we would I would later meet, I think, in 2014 or 15 at Malvern as part of the Knights of Immaculata retreat. But Maximilian Kolbe was born on January the 8th in the year 1894, and he would die on August the 14th, 1941. As a young boy, he must have gotten into a little bit of trouble because his mother said to him, "I don't know what's going to become of you." And he prayed to the Blessed Mother to let him know what's going to happen to him. And she appeared to Maximilian holding two crowns, one white and one red, and asked if he would like to have them. One was for purity, the other for martyrdom. And Maximilian Kolbe said, "I choose both." It says that the Blessed Mother smiled and disappeared. And Maximilian Kolbe would eventually live out both, that white and red crown. Again, the white being for purity and that red for martyrdom. He entered the seminary at 16. And was really into science, but would eventually get doctorates in both philosophy and theology. He was ordained at the age of 24, and prior to his ordination, he was studying in Rome, and he saw a parade of Freemasons, whose goal it was to basically tear down the Catholic Church. And, you know, they really haven't given up that goal, and so Maximilian Kolbe saw the need to for evangelization, and so he would form the Knights of Immaculata, whose aim was to fight evil, and he would then have a get a printing press. He would start printing a religious magazine entitled Knight of the Immaculata. A miraculous story there where he needed money for the printing press and happened to go by a statue of the Blessed Mother. I believe it was either in the rectory or the church where he was stationed. And the exact amount of money that he needed happened to be in the envelope, and he was able to get his first printing press. And then he established what was called the City of the Immaculata in Polish Niepokalanów. And 700 Franciscan brothers would join him there. He later founded another center in Nagasaki, Japan, which was miraculous as well during World War II. Of course, the United States would bring about the end of the war by dropping two atomic bombs in Japan, one in Hiroshima and one in Nagasaki. And the one that was dropped on Nagasaki somehow or other managed to completely avoid wiping out the Niepokalanów there. The City of the Immaculata remained standing despite the atomic bomb. Both the militia and the magazine ultimately reached 1 million members and subscribers. So this is, a huge thing when you think about it going back to the 1930s. Then in 1939, the Nazis would invade Poland. Niepokalanów was bombed. Kolbe and his friars were arrested, and this was the first time. They were only they were held for less than 3 months this time and released on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. In 1941, Kolbe's arrested again, and the Nazis now wanted to really get rid of these guys. So 3 months later, a prisoner escaped, and the commandant announced that they would invoke the normal penalty, which would be that 10 men would have to die. So he walked along and he picked out the 10 men, and the one of them, Francis Gajanowiczek, I think that's how you say it, number 16670, he stepped out of the line and said that he had a wife and children. And that's when Father Kolbe would step up and say that he would take his place. And, of course, the commandant would relish in that, being able to send a priest off to the starvation bunker. And so off he went, 10 of them. And instead of they'd be stripped naked, put in a starvation bunker. And I would imagine the guards' amazement. There was no screaming or wailing or any of that kind of stuff. They would sing. And then on the eve of the Assumption, 4 out of the 10 were left. And that's when they would come. They needed the bunker for the next set of 10. And so it says they lifted his fleshless arm to receive the bite of the hypodermic needle, which was filled with carbolic acid. And that's how they would kill Maximilian Kolbe. His body would be burned along with the others, and he would eventually be beatified in 1971 and canonized in 1982. At St. Maximilian Kolbe, whose feast day we celebrate today, August the 14th. Father?
Yeah, as his ashes went up on the vigil there, celebrating Mary's body, assumed body and soul into heaven, his ashes goes up with her, his spirit with Mary. Such a great devotion to our Blessed Mother, the founder of the Knights of the Immaculata, the conquer souls for Christ through Mary. Ken, I remember when I was really little, there was a knock on the door, it was a Franciscan, and he was selling the magazine, the Immaculata magazine. And I always remember that, and that was how he founded that magazine. And that always stayed with me. My mother even gave me a copy, and it disappeared. But all the, religious articles, especially about the Blessed Mother, a really beautiful magazine. But anyway, just a little bit more about him. You did a really good job there, Ken. But he's arrested, you know, sent to Auschwitz. The commandant says, take these useless creatures and parasites of society and show them what work means. And he was wearing his habit when he was brought to camp, and the rosary commander held the crucifix and asked, do you still believe? And he said, yes. And he struck him again and again, you know, broke his rosary beads. But he was always treated badly, and all the priests were as well. You know, just for being a priest, you got extra beatings, dog attacks. You got the heaviest and the dirtiest work, carrying corpses, and this was his response. They will not kill our souls. And then he encouraged his fellow prisoners to forgive and to love their persecutors, to overcome evil with good. We don't overcome evil with evil. We overcome evil with good. And this is what the saints teach us. You keep loving your enemies like Jesus asked us to. You do good to our enemies. You pray for those who persecute us. You know, it's just the way the gospel is. Yes, it is difficult, but really to love one another. I mean, that's the gospel that was picked out today for his feast day. You know, love one another the way I love you. And how does he love us? His arms are stretched out on the cross. This much he loves us, and he gives his life. He pours out his blood, even yet while we're still yet sinners. But love one another, Ken. It's all about love. And we had our meeting this morning, and I think it was Patrick Ireland that said that whoever abides in love abides in God and God in him. You know, to love is to be one with God. And when we're one with God, we can conquer all things, even the grave. And that story, you know, I often think about the story of St. John the Apostle. And in his 90s, he would get up for Mass, and he would always seem to give the same homily over and over again. And he would always say, love one another. And he would sit down. And again, love one another. And he would sit down. Very short and sweet homily. And someone thought, well, John's getting older. He's getting a little senile. He's forgetting what to say. So someone went up and asked him. He said, why do you keep repeating the same homily over and over again? He said, because it's what Jesus repeated over and over and over again. Love one another, and it's enough. Love one another. And, you know, it's interesting, too. Maximilian Kolbe kept repeating his stories over and over again, but he did it with such warmth and feeling. It was like it was always different. And that kind of liberated me because I got a lot of stories, and sometimes I know there's one or two out there that heard the stories, and I hesitate to tell my stories again. But he didn't. He just kept telling his stories, just like the parables in the gospel comes up again and again and again, because we keep growing. We always get something new out of the Word of God and our stories, because we change. Not the stories change, but we do. And a patron saint of drug addicts, as you said, because he died with the injection, and just so powerful. But another story I just wanted to say was this. I quote this. He said, we are instruments in the hand of the Immaculata, and therefore in the hand of God. You know, everything was through Mary's heart. The Holy Spirit didn't work without the Blessed Mother. That, I mean, think of that. It's just like Mary, and he said this too, this is another thing, a little aside, that Mary is a quasi-incarnation of the Holy Spirit. I thought, he didn't go far enough. She is an incarnation of the Holy Spirit. She's married to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's her spouse. The two are one. You know, it's through the Holy Spirit that we get the incarnation, you know. But the Holy Spirit does not act without Mary. And there goes what the church is teaching, right? A mediatrix of all graces. All graces come through our Blessed Mother. And we hesitate to really proclaim that to our Protestant brothers and sisters because of ecumenism. And so we need to tell them the truth. All graces comes through our Blessed Mother. She is one with the Holy Spirit, one with God. And the other thing was, too, with his Franciscans, they were always giving him a hard time because he said, he's too Marian, he's too Marian. And his response was, well, could Jesus be too Marian? Could Jesus give too much devotion to his mother? Could anyone else love the Blessed Mother more than Jesus? But here's the story I was leading to, and I'll put that quote again. Maximilian, we are instruments in the hand of the Immaculata, and therefore in the hand of God. And it reminded me of the story of the mystic, the woman who's having a vision, and she sees this woman. She's a widow, and her little boy is climbing up to the top of a roof, and he falls off and he breaks his back. And the mother takes the little boy to all the doctors. She, you know, exhausts her funding, and there's no help. The little boy's paralyzed, and so she hears about Jesus, this widow, and he's coming maybe a half a mile or so outside the town. And she heard about all the healing powers of Jesus. So she picks up her little boy, and she carries him to the brow of the hill. On top of the hill is Jesus, and he's preaching to the apostles and to others about the kingdom of God, and the Blessed Mother is there. And this mystic is watching all this, and she sees the Blessed Mother, and the Blessed Mother looks down at the widow mother who's holding her son, exhausted, and the Blessed Mother goes down the brow of the hill and says, "Give me your little boy. I am a mother too." And the Blessed Mother takes the little boy in her arms. She walks up the top of the hill. She walks through the apostles and the congregation listening. And Jesus sees his mother with the little boy coming towards him, and he stops his preaching. And Mary just simply goes over and puts the little boy into the hands of Jesus. And Jesus hugs the little boy and puts him down. The little boy's hopping around, jumping around, high-fiving the apostles, goes down the brow of the hill and helps his mother home. And Peter comes up. He says, "Lord, this miracle of yours, this is so different." He said, "What do you mean, Peter?" He said, "Well, usually when you do a miracle, you make mud and you spittle, or you say something, or you do something. Here, you didn't do anything." And Jesus said, "Peter, the little boy was in the arms of my mother, and that is all that's necessary." You see, to be in the arms of Mother Mary, we're in the arms of our Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're in the arms of our God. And so that quote was right on for Maximilian Kolbe, and I'll repeat it. Quote, "We are instruments in the hand of the Immaculata, and therefore in the hand of God."
Amen. One of the highlights of my trip to Rome last year, amongst other places I got to visit, was going to a church called St. Andrea della Frate, the minor basilica dedicated to St. Andrew. And when my wife Sue was planning the trip, we went with my sister-in-law and her husband. And Sue was asking me, you know, are there any places that I really wanted to go to? She was really putting together the trip. And I told her that the one place that I had to get to, if nowhere else, was St. Andrea della Frate. And she and my in-laws were, what's so important about that church? And it was in that church in 1842. And I remember I first heard the story from, I think, Father Gately. And maybe Brian Gale and the Knights about Alphonse Ratisbonne, who in 1842 had an apparition of the Blessed Mother in that church, and had one of those conversions where the entirety of the Catholic faith was given to him in an instant, and he would go from being an atheist to starting a religious order of priests who dedicated their lives to converting Jews to Catholicism. And Maximilian Kolbe knew of that story, and part of the story included a dare that Alphonse Ratisbonne took somebody up on, where they dared him to wear a miraculous medal. He was I think French and an atheist, and this priest friend of his was trying to convert him. And so he dared him to wear the miraculous medal, and he does. And then he has this apparition. Well, of course, Maximilian Kolbe, as part of his Knights of Immaculata, would use the miraculous medal as his silver bullet and distribute them far and wide. And so when Maximilian Kolbe was in Italy studying, and of course, that's where he saw the parade of the Freemasons, and would eventually use Knights of Immaculata to battle Freemasonry. He was also aware of what happened with Alphonse Ratisbonne, so Maximilian Kolbe would offer his first Mass in that church at St. Andrea della Frate, and used the, I believe he actually used the side altar where the apparition of the Blessed Mother took place. So it really was probably the highlight of my trip. I mean, there's so many places to see. It seems like there's two churches on every corner when you're in Rome. And a lot of them just seem to be nondescript. And it's only recently I realized or learned that that church was actually a minor basilica. And we look at the Basilica of the Miraculous Medal that we have here, and you can see that from miles around with the golden statue of the Blessed Mother on top. And we were walking up to this church, and you really wouldn't have known it was a church unless you knew where it was and were looking for it, I think. And it really was a highlight. And just the life of Maximilian Kolbe. We talked a bit about him, or I did anyway, at our gathering this morning, in light of the gospel, where Jesus tells his disciples that there is no greater gift than to lay down your life for another. And and of course Maximilian Kolbe literally did that. The man that was to be executed or starved to death, and took his place. And I think it's, what's interesting is that, if I'm not mistaken, he was able to be there, at least for the beatification. I'm not sure if he was there for the canonization, to be able to realize that a man gave up his life for your own, and then to later, go to Rome and be a part of that and realize... what was done for you is, just a real testament to who Maximilian Kolbe was.
Yeah. He just died recently, too.
Yeah.
Sergeant Francis. just want to say, too, Ken, the obedience of the man and the poverty, all the funds that he would raise. He had a trust fund in the Bank of Divine Providence, but the obedience with the bishop, he would always ask permission to do whatever he needed to do. He said, don't worry about the money. I'll find the money. And he did, again and again. He was always spending money. Whatever the needs was, it would come in one hand and out the other. But here's a man that didn't even have a pair of shoes. He had sandals, but if he would go out to town or something, he would borrow the shoes. He was so frugal. He lived that gospel, that whole gospel of poverty, of simplicity. And also, one of the other things, since he's the patron saint of drug addicts, he says this, his insurance policy was always the Immaculata, But here's the thing. He said this. He spoke to the novices about avoiding smoking, exhorting them all to make a promise to the Immaculata to abstain forever from the habit and to religious living in the city of the Immaculata. Here's what he says, quote, my dear brothers, do me this favor. Even after my death, do not smoke or drink brandy. Refuse them. No smoking at all in the Nepo Colanos, because it was against poverty. It was against your poor health. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. And, he didn't hold anything back. He just spoke the truth. But, drugs, and he was just so frugal. And one of his novices also to be frugal and to live that gospel. But of course he centered on the Eucharist, and that's the big thing. The whole center of the throne of the city of Mary is the Eucharist, always the Eucharist. And so many powerful things he would say about the Holy Mass. He wanted perpetual adoration, but because he was arrested, it interfered with that, and that dream could never come true. But the Mass, how he speaks about the Mass, and I said this today, that the he said the climax of the Mass is not at the elevation when the priest holds up the bread and wine after it's consecrated. This is Jesus Christ now. In persona Christi, we're going to the Father. The precious blood is inundating us, purifying us, taking away all the sins, the guilt, and shame, making us like we haven't sinned because the scapegoat, the Lamb of God, takes everything. And now I'm presented to the Father. My heart is pure. And so he says, where the climax come, now I'm ready to receive God in Holy Communion. So I receive the Trinity, Mary, the mystical body of Christ. There's the climax. Now I'm one with God. Now the Mass is ended. Go out now with me and bring me to others, bring that love, that forgiveness, that mercy. proclaim that gospel word. You have me now. Stay with me. Abide with me. Follow me, you know, and just proclaim the holy gospel of the Lord. But our strength, you know, our nourishment, he knew it, and the church preaches it. It's the summit of all graces. It's the most blessed sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, and how he loved the Holy Eucharist, you know, Mary, the mother of the Eucharist. And that's the other thing I just wanted to say, too. I was Father Blunt on the last 2 weeks ago in retreat. He was talking about the manna. And now the manna is daily bread come down from heaven. And then in the where Jesus is speaking in the Book of Glory, John 6, the Bread of Life Discourse, he says, it wasn't Moses who gave you daily bread. It was my Heavenly Father who gave you the bread. And he uses the amen, amen, daily bread. And then he speaks about the Blessed Mother, where Jesus is on the cross there, and he says to John, behold your mother, mother, behold your son. And John takes her into his home. They go to Ephesus. Now, John's a priest. He's going to celebrate the Mass every day. It's daily bread. And the Blessed Mother is going to be a daily communicant. Think of that, how powerful that is. You know, and it's like when he gave us the Our Father, give us this day our daily bread, and he does every day. And I know it's not possible for everyone to go to Mass every day, but, you know, so often we can, and our churches are not so filled. I love daily communicants. They get it. They get it. And so many of us, we're up in the morning and we're retired. Go to Mass. Go to communion. Pray for the world. Pray for peace in the world. Pray for our enemies or persecutors. Pray for our politicians, for conversions. You know, this is where it's all at, right there at the Eucharist, the heart. It's where all graces flow. Catholic Church has a monopoly on grace because all graces come from the sacrificial heart, the crucified heart, the split heart of Jesus Christ into our hearts, makes us one with him, one heart, one will. Just one spirit, one in God. We become like him by participation all through the holy sacrifice of the Mass. To receive communion is to receive God. It's to become like God. We become what we eat, what we absorb, what we assimilate. I said this morning, even a dog can go up to the communion rail and receive the Eucharist, but never Holy Communion. Our hearts have to be repentant. We got to be sorry. We got to change and receive those graces of the Mass, then we receive Holy Communion. Now I'm ready to go out into the world and even be a martyr, if need be, like Maximilian Kolbe, because it won't be me anymore. It'll be Jesus in me, and the strength and the grace will be there to do all things. If he commands it, we can do it by the grace of God.
Amen. All right, we ran past the bottom of the hour. That's okay. I'll give you out the phone numbers. We want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we need your phone calls in order to make that happen. The phone numbers.
Blame the Holy Spirit, Ken.
Yeah, yeah. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610 527 2906. Or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. Again, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. In case you're wondering, the recordings of the shows are always available on Facebook. As a matter of fact, we're on Facebook Live, so you can see me out there. Hello. And one of these days we'll get Father into the studio. But we also put the MP3 audio files up on our website at inhissign.com. If you click on content and then podcasts, you'll see all the recordings out there. We try to get them up, or I try to get them uploaded no later than Thursday at noon. So if you miss a show or you want to re-listen to a show, you can always find it on our website. Click on content and then podcasts to get there. Quick rundown of the Calyx units in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Calyx is an organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. We meet every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We have a Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson, where we get started at 6 o'clock with adoration, followed by Mass, and then a Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday, which will be next Tuesday, August the 20th, we're in St. Gabriel's Church, where we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 6 to 7. And we have adoration, benediction, we pray some prayers to for Matt Talbot's intercession. And also confessions are heard. We've got at least a couple of priests that will be there next Tuesday. And then Mass at 7 o'clock. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. in the Parish Center. The third Thursday is tomorrow, the 15th. It's also the Feast of the Assumption, so I'm not 100% certain that they are meeting tomorrow night. I would suspect that they are. But if you need to know, get in touch with me, and I'll find out for certain. The Glenside Unit at St. Luke's meets on the third Saturday of the month. The third Saturday this month is this coming Saturday, but most of us are going to be out at Malvern on retreat, so we're going to postpone the meeting until the third Saturday in September, which will be the 21st. The unit at Malvern Retreat House meets on the third Sunday of the month. That's this coming Sunday, 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joe's Hall, followed by refreshments and then a meeting. Again, that'll take place this coming Sunday, the 18th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. They'll meet next Saturday, August the 24th, and in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, there's a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday, beginning with Mass at 6:15 p.m., followed by a Calyx meeting. I'm going to be joined by Steve Dawson in the 5 o'clock hour. I'm going to talk a little bit more about him in this Odd Our God segment, but first we're going to go to the phones, and we're going to talk to Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ken.
All the way from Fruitland Park, Florida. How are you, brother?
All the way. Good. So, okay, my odd but God, it's like, it's almost like God, like, catch me by the collar and say, come here, I want you to do this. You know, is they've been asking that church for volunteers, for sacristans, and in different, you know, getting the church ready for Mass in the morning. I didn't realize it when the snowbirds leave down here. There's nobody down here. You go out on the lake, it's empty. You know?
Yeah.
Church down here looks like Easter Sunday every Sunday. It's packed, overflowing, you know? But now it's like it's half empty, you know? And so they really need people. And I thought, yeah. I don't really want to do that, you know? And then I was there this morning, and always after communion, I always stay, you know, and pray, you know, because I've just received communion, you know, and then Father Matthew, the pastor, he came out and he started stripping the altar and bringing out, because, you know, he's getting ready for tomorrow, too, because it's the Assumption. He's putting out candles and doing this and running all over the place. And, gee, I got to go up there. I got to volunteer, you know. And so it's like, it's just that God made me see him there, you know. And so, you know, he put him right in front of me and say, do you see this happening right now? Do you see why they need volunteers? All right, all right, all right, I said. And I went up and I volunteered. However, I may not be accepted because they fingerprinted me and they're going to send the prints in and run them. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah, forget about it. Very good.
Well, I tried to volunteer once before to distribute communion in a hospital, and they told me I had a criminal record in North Carolina, you know, and it's just some guy with my name.
Oh, sure.
I'm able to prove that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right,
so
brother.
Lincoln Colby, he was my father's favorite saint. My father was a World War II veteran, and my father always hated Hollywood's portrayal of Catholic priests, you know, and he really liked, you know, to be able to hold Maximilian Colby up as an example of a Catholic priest. And at St. Timothy's down here, they have a statue of a chaplain, and next to it they have a plaque showing five Medal of Honor winners who were five Catholic chaplains.
Right. Awesome.
And one of them from New Jersey, who died in the Vietnam War after carrying 20 soldiers out of harm's way, you know?
Yeah.
Like the episode, the scene from Forrest Gump where he's running and carrying all the guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it actually happened, but it was a Catholic priest.
Yeah. So. Pretty cool.
Yep.
All right, brother. Always good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Yep. It was great to be there. So.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Hopefully we'll see you again soon.
I know that Patrick is there for technical support.
Yep.
But I wonder if he could give a little theological support. When Maximilian Colby said, do not smoke, did he mean vape also?
Oh, man. But
I'm glad I'm 1,000 miles away.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm looking now, and I don't know if that's vape or smoke from anger coming out of his ears. So, all right, brother.
All right,
take care. Yep.
Bye bye.
See you.
God bless, Bob.
Ba-dum-bum. Anyway, no other callers on the line. I do want to share and honor God and ask for prayers for our 5 o'clock guest. You know, when I got to the studio today, I got an email from him saying that he was under the weather. And that he wouldn't mind rescheduling. And I told him that there was too many otter gods involved in his being here today. I kind of set up the interview on short notice because my original guest canceled the beginning of last week. And I happened to come across a book that is being re-released by Ignatius Press called Catholic Evangelization. And the gentleman that's coming on is Steve Dawson, the founder of St. Paul Street Evangelization. And in learning about him, come to realize that he wasn't always a good guy. Went through a reversion back to the faith. And when he started out this street evangelization, something he just kind of did on his own, he was handing out miraculous medals and doing so because he had learned about Maximilian Colby and that's what Maximilian Colby would do. And, of course, probably after Maximilian Colby, there's no greater distributor of miraculous medals than Father McKay. As a matter of fact, we just ordered a couple hundred yesterday. So it should be an interesting conversation. Please pray for Steve for a miraculous recovery in the next 15 minutes. He is going to come on, but hopefully we can make it through the hour. But, Just interesting that it's going to take place on Maximilian Colby's feast day.
Yeah. Yeah. The silver bullet, Ken.
That's right.
They called it the miraculous medal, the silver bullet.
All right. The phone did ring again, and we're going to go to the phone lines. And the name that Patrick's putting up is Neha. Hello?
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you? Did I get that name right?
Yeah, Neha. I was just calling in. I work for MLB Recovery Center. We are a treatment center in the area, and we live And I just wanted to say thank you for all that you do. Our patients love your show.
Oh, and if I'm not mistaken, one of the folks over there is George's son. Is that right?
Yeah, that's actually my husband.
Oh, okay. So remind me what his last name is.
Griffith. Royal.
Now,
George Griffith.
Yeah,
Stephen
George.
Royal,
yeah,
husband.
Yeah. Right. So, Father, you know, George Griffith, who always pops into our Matt Talbot Shrine on Tuesdays and Thursdays and works with the funeral director.
Yeah.
This will be his son and daughter-in-law who have the facility over in Jersey to help our friends who struggle with addiction. So
yes,
so
and we're actually in recovery ourselves and found God, you know. So we're just so grateful for you guys and everything that you do.
Wow, and thank you for the work that that you're doing. I see that Dad put some of your cards over there in our shrine. I don't know if anybody's picked them up yet and gotten in touch with you,
amazing.
but they're there. So you know, thank you for the work that you do, and together, you know, hopefully we can save a few more souls.
That's the goal, right?
You got it.
Yeah. All right,
you're
All
right.
You're the daughter-in-law or the daughter of George?
Daughter-in-law.
Daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, too. God bless you. We're the God squad. We work together on the God team.
There you go.
I love it.
Yeah, Lord,
love
thank
it.
You. We inspire one another.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. Take care. And, I know George listens whenever he can as well, so...
George was supposed to be calling in sometime. I don't think he ever did he, Ken?
No, he called once. He had an honor God that he called in about, but, got about 13 minutes left. You got one, Father?
Well, I'd like to share that one, Ken, that I shared today, you know, about when I was sitting on the porch Saturday morning, and... By the way, we're doing the Finding Peace in the Storm, St. Alphonsus Liguori, and all the little storms of life, the negativities. And my honor God was, you know, in the morning, we're supposed to thank God for everything because God is really going to bring good out of everything. So it was Saturday morning. I was on the porch there at Mount Vernon and just reading and eating my breakfast, and I got a smudge on my glass, and I was a little, it was like a negativity. I said, you know, I got to get up now. I was really comfortable. I got to clean these glasses off, Lord. But, dear Lord, I thank you for the smudge on my glasses. But really, Lord, what good is going to come out of this smudge? And a little wee voice whispered in my ear. He said, well, Douglas, you weren't even thinking of me until I put that smudge on your glasses. And now you're in communion with me. And that whole porch filled up with paradise for me because now I became aware of his presence over a little smudge. And so I was thinking, was that honor, was that God? And all these negativities that happened to us during the day, I was sharing this morning at our meeting when I was playing baseball, shortstop, they have these little twisters in the dirt, in the sand, in the diamond of the baseball field. I couldn't even step on them. They're only little, no big deal, but they're distracting. And here, these happen to us all day long. They're like little storms in our lives. But yet, they call us to God because we're not thinking of God. Now, there's a negativity. Now I'm praying, Jesus, save me from my irritation, you know. And we're in communion with him again. So all my distractions become attractions to the presence of God, to the present moment. And that was very powerful. I'll never forget that little smudge, you know, because it really spoke volumes to me about the present moment and the presence of God, and to practice his presence. So, and when we forget, he reminds us in all these little negativities, these little things that happen. Because and you get to a point where you drop a dish, and it's like you're laughing at it now because you're in the presence of God. So that was kind of like an honor God for me, Ken.
Yeah, no, and that book's been awesome. And, you know, it all started because I was going to interview Dan Burke back in May or June, and he became ill, and we weren't able to reschedule until October. But the book Finding Peace in the Storm is just outstanding. We're doing it with our Calyx group, and has really touched a number of people. So highly recommend it. And if you do pick it up and read it, and then tune in on October the 2nd, we'll be talking about it in detail. And especially if you have any questions for Dan, you'll be able to call in and ask him then.
Yeah, I always found, too, like the hurricanes, Ken, the big storms in life, they seem to be easier to surrender because I know I can't do any of this. I give up, God, you know, and I'm thinking about tragedies in my life, how easily I would surrender and find that peace and find the Lord carrying me. But these little things in life, these little storms. You know, they're all around us, and yet they're little reminders. I'm with you always until the end of the world. The disturbances, you know, the disappointments become divine appointments.
Amen.
The distractions now become attractions to the very presence and the heart of God. So bring those little storms on, you know. I find God in all things, Ken. That's what the saints did. That's what we need to strive, because he's with us always until the end of the world.
Very good. You want to talk about the grilled saint?
The what?
The grilled.
Oh, I wanted to maybe end with Maximilian Kolbe.
Wait a minute. Before we do, we got a caller on the line. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Hello, Frank.
You almost lost me. Can I bet that, huh?
Yeah, the mayor of Northeast Philadelphia. How are you?
Yes, sir. I wanted to say, Bob, did you get your ears? You were saying the VA was going to cover hearing aids for you. Hope you're going to get them soon. And Father Doug, you there?
I'm here.
Father Doug, Matt Talbot McKay, are you sitting down, sir?
Yes, I am.
A week ago, I told Ken I'm going to work on a nickname for you. Are you ready, Ken?
I suppose.
Well, I hope to. Have you ever seen the movie An Officer and a Gentleman?
Yes.
Well, the main character, Richard Gere, was Zach Mayo. The DI called him Mayonnaise. There was another cadet. Her name was Seeger. He called her Cigar. Well, you like cigars, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're Kenneth Cigar. did you ever go to one of those bourbon, sipping bourbon bars with, you have cigars in there?
No. I didn't smoke cigars until after I gave up the liquor.
Well, I was never a sipper. I guzzled. That wouldn't be good. Oh, well. Yeah. I wanted to give you a new nickname to you, Kenneth Cigar.
Thanks, brother.
Also, Ken, also, by accident, I cheated on you and Father Doug yesterday.
I heard. Oh, we lost you. Frank,
lost
are you? Yeah. I think I know what he was going to say. I heard through the grapevine that he called in yesterday during Kathleen's show.
Hello?
Hey, there you are.
Yeah, I heard part of it. I was changing dials. Again, I can't see. I didn't know what station it was. I didn't know who it was, and it was one of your associates.
Yeah.
I forget her name. Kathy?
Kathleen McCarthy, the president.
McCarthy, yeah, okay. Yeah. I knew she was on. Maureen told me before different days.
Hey, go on again.
I'm back again.
All right. Yeah.
So, I'm going to. She's on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Now, but I didn't know it.
Yeah.
So I've been listening to hers on Tuesdays. You guys on Wednesdays, and her on Thursdays.
There you go.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too, Frank. Always good to hear from you, brother.
Thank you. Yeah, Ken. I just wanted to maybe wrap this up with Maximilian Kolbe.
Yeah, we've only got 5 minutes, so take it what you need.
Yeah, we have the village there at Malvern.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the second Thursday every month. And Brian Gale, you know, he's the man that I know that knows the most about Maximilian Kolbe. He always gives that talk, you know, before we meet at 7, he gives a talk about Maximilian Kolbe. And then we have Adoration Rosary, and then we have the Mass, maybe an hour and a half, and we're finished. But, and you know, the Knights of the Immaculata, you know, the purpose of the Knights is really what I said in the beginning, to conquer souls for Christ through Mary. So the purpose of the Knights, conversion of souls living in sin, growth in holiness, you know, and under the sponsorship of the Blessed Mother, the Immaculata. That's the purpose of the Knights.
Mm.
Then they have the condition. First one is total oblation to Mary as an instrument in her hands. Total oblation to Mary, tutus tuus, through Mary, completely. And the second one is to wear or carry the medal, the miraculous medal, the silver bullet. And the third one is to sign up in the register, and you become a Knight of the Immaculata. And the means, you know, the first means, we pray every day, O Mary, conceive without sin. And the second means would be just whatever state of life we're in, just continue to doing that. You know, praying for souls, conversion of sinners, and propagate the miraculous medal. And that makes you a Knight of the Immaculata. And our Mass is always for the family. You know, Maximine Cole, we always big with the family. And I think of that acronym, Ken. F-A-M-I-L-Y. Forget about me. I love you. It's powerful, you know, that we forget about ourselves.
Yeah.
We just give ourselves, you know, to others, like Jesus gives himself to us. And that's what love is all about. And I always say, when you hear St. Augustine said, he who sings prays twice. And I came up with this myself. He who prays once for another prays twice for himself. So when you're really doing something good for others, you're doing something better for yourselves. And you might not even know it, because that makes us more and more like God. But yes, the Knights of the Immaculata, we meet every second Thursday of the month. We start at 7 o'clock, and we're usually done by 8:30, a quarter of 9.
Very good. And if you want to learn more about the Knights of Immaculata or the Militia of the Immaculata, they have a website. It's militiaoftheimmaculata.com. All the resources are there. Father McKay was saying, we have a village that meets out at Malvern on the second Thursday. And if I'm not mistaken, there's at least one, maybe two other villages now that have cropped up as a result of this one. So there are folks in different areas that get together once a month or so in order to be together and talk about the Blessed Mother and the Knights and the work of the apostolate. So, like I said, it was back in the 90s when I was coming back to the faith, and after I made that retreat and getting resources, CDs and cassette tapes from Bud McFarland's son's website, Catholicity.com, it was there that I learned about the Knights of Immaculata. And my good friend Paul Mathis and I, and I don't think he's listening because he was headed out to the 5 o'clock vigil mass. He and I met Bud McFarland Sr. on November 21st, the Feast of the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in over in Jersey. We met Bud McFarland Sr. and made our consecration to Jesus through Mary as part of the Knights of Immaculata, and that really was the jumping-off point for my spiritual life. Everything changed that night. Didn't seem like it, especially in the days or weeks or months immediately after. But when I look back in over the course of the last 20 or 30 years, that was probably the turning point in my spiritual life and put me on the road that has led to where I am now. So all good stuff.
Yeah.
Very good, so, yeah. Want to go ahead and give the blessing, Father?
Yeah, Ken, I just wanted to add some special intentions. Number one would be for Tommy Petrillo, whose anniversary, 9th anniversary is today, and for the Petrillo family, who are great benefactors for us, Peggy and Frank. And also want to pray for Jamie Roman, the officer who was shot, who is still hanging on, months unconscious, through the intercession of Matt Talbot. And also we offer Mass today for Danielle, Mary Jean's granddaughter, and I baptized her great-granddaughter, little Charlie. I always remember that day. Mm-hmm. I got a thumbs up from this little girl, you know, and a wink. He was really powerful. But just wanted to remember Danielle and some bad news with health problems.
Okay.
And certainly Jamie and the Petrillo family and Tommy. All right. Well, can we have time for a Hail Mary? No?
Yep.
Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And we just ask you, dear Lord, to bless us all with a closeness and intimacy to your most sacred heart, through the Immaculata, the chaste heart of St. Joseph, Maximine Kolbe, Matt Talbot, and all the angels and saints, to bless us all real good, especially our listeners. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And may the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right, kind.
All right. Yep, you too. Thanks, Father.
All right.
Right. For our listeners, our 5 o'clock guest is already on the line. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be with Steve Dawson of the St. Paul Street Evangelization. Don't go away. We'll be right back.